We are holding on Memches on the Bay's three lines from the bottom. We're discussing details about benching. We discussed yesterday the psukim from which we learn the various brachas of benching. We said again, some rishonim learn that this is actually, that these are actual real drashas, and therefore that means that on a daraisa level, you have to have three or four brachas of benching, just like the chachamim, just like the Torah doesn't establish a particular nusach, and that, and left that for the different chachamim of the different generations, Moshe and Yeshua and so forth. The other explanation is that the whole thing is an asmachta. You have the mitzvah and a Torah to make a bracha after food, but without any specific number of brachas or anything. And the chachamim set up a specific number of brachas and the themes of them and so forth. So, more on that topic. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Kol Shalom Eretz Chem the Tova Rechava Vivas Haaretz. Anybody who does not say the words Eretz Chem the Tova Rechava, that Hashem gave us a desirable and good and wide land in Birkas Haaretz, which is the second bracha Noida, or Malchus Beis David B'Boni Yerushalayim, or if he did not mention Malchus Beis David in the bracha of B'Boni Yerushalayim in Rachim, Malchus Beis David B'Shechecha, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chayvasa, he's not Yotze his Chayva of benching, and he would need to, so yeah, there are Rishonim will learn the Torah, for example, brings from his brother, that may from his brother Rabbi Chiyo, that maybe it doesn't mean that he'd actually have to go back and say it, just that he's not properly Yotze Birkas HaMazon. Most of the Rishonim say, though, that no, what it means, and the Poskim say that it means that no, he would actually have to go and bench again.
Good morning. Okay. I'm on the way over, but I want my hair, you know.
Okay, yeah, we just started. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you need to say Eretz Chem L'Tovah Rechava in the Birkas HaOretz because those are primary attributes of the thanking Hashem for Israel. We need to use that expression, which in fact we find when Hashem first tells, when Hashem sends Moshe to tell the Jewish people, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim and I'm going to bring you to the land of Eretz Israel, he uses these expressions.
We're still
thanking Hashem that he gave us Eretz Yisrael, and it is ours, even if right now we're not, right now, but Hashem, Jews are in control of it, most of it, but even during the time when Jews weren't in control of it, it still belongs to us. We may not be there, but it still belongs to us, and we still thank Hashem that he gave it to us in the first place. And then in Malchus Beis David, Ben Yerushalayim, Rashi explains, because he's the one who caused Yerushalayim to become holy. He's the one who discovered where the Beis Mikdash is supposed to be. He's the one who conquered it and made it his capital and so forth. He has to mention Malchus Beis David. There's an interesting idea, actually. The Sefer HaManihig from one of the Rishonim, which is an important Sefer for an important source for Halacha, he says, you find that when the Aseret HaShvatim rebelled against Yerushalayim and set up their own kingdom with Yerushalayim as their king, they rejected three things. They rejected Hashem, they rejected Malchus Beis David and the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, in the bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim, we have to mention all three. We're speaking to Hashem. We're asking for the restoration of Malchus Beis David, and we're asking for the rebuilding of the Beis Mikdash.
The story is what
they rebelled because they claimed that the taxes and whatever under Shlomo had been too high and Aschachav and whatever. That's another, you know, not something to get into right now. Yes, physically they rebelled. They set up their own kingdom of Ken Shlokim. Previously, a Navi had told you all of them that was going to happen, but whatever. That's the point is that they still did it in the wrong way, and they rejected these three things: Hashem, the Beis Mikdash, Hashem, Malchus Beis David. So we need to ask for all of them back. Okay. Rabbi Yosi Omer Tzarech Sheyizkur BaTorah. Rabbi Yosi says also in the Birkas HaOretz you have to mention Torah, because what makes us worthy of having Eretz Yisrael is Torah. Plimoy Omer, Plimoy was the name of a Tana, this was the Talmud of Rebbe Omer. Tzarech Sheyizkur Bris. I skipped a line. Nochem Azokin Omer Tzarech Sheyizkur BaBris. And Nochem Azokin says you have to mention Bris in the bracha of the Eretz of Noida Lacha, because through the Bris also is what Hashem promised Avraham, you're going to keep my Bris, and it's Bris Milah, and I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosi Omer Tzarech Sheyizkur BaTorah, and Rav Yosi says you have to mention Torah. Shlimo Omer, Shlimo says you do have to mention both Bris and Torah, and Tzarech Sheyakid Bris LaTorah. You have to actually mention Bris before Torah, which we do. Val Bris Choshech Zamna V'Sareinu, Val Torah Choshech Levantan. Why? Because the Torah was given to the Jewish people using only three brises. Meaning Rashi explains there were three places where the Torah was given and re-given to the Jewish people. It was originally given at Har Sinai, then the details were given at Ohel Moed, a second time in Aris Moed, before Moshe passed away, he taught them the whole Torah again, and then again in Har Gruzim and Har Evel, where they accepted on themselves the Torah. Actually, I go to Bach points out you have slightly different versions in Sota where exactly the three brisses are, but whatever. The point is you have three brisses, three covenants associated with the Torah, the Zunit Nema Yud Gimel brisses, whereas Bris Mila was given with 13 brisses. 13 times in the section about Mila at the end of Parshas Lech, 13 times there it says the word bris. In the minor, we say by Bris Mila, which comes from Torah Ur, the Alter Rebbe explained the deeper reason why there were 13 brisses, because Mila evokes the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmin, but whatever, the point is that the point is that therefore bris has, the Bris Mila has more covenants with Hashem associated with it than the Torah, therefore it should come first, which is how we do it.
Why should it have more covenants?
So that's what I'm saying. The Alter Rebbe explains in that minor that Bris Mila evokes and then brings down a level higher, than a level of course, higher even than the name of Hashem, and it goes all the way to the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmin, and therefore it's associated with 13 verses.
And the Torah?
The Torah only three. The Torah is Chokhmah Seir Tzoynei, Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's, so to speak, a lower level. That's something more. It's more accessible to us, basically. Yeah. Okay. All right. Rav Abba Omer, Torah Shiyama Bo Hidah Tchila V'Soif. Rav Abba says you have to mention the concept of Hidah, of thanking Hashem, at the beginning and at the end of that bracha. So we do. We start out Noda Lacha Hashem Alekenu, and we finish off Va'ala Kol Hashem Alekenu Anachim Noidim Lachim Uvarach Moisach. Somebody who is going to say less, if a person chooses to say a shorter nusach and not mention Hadar twice, fine, but at least he needs to mention it once. If he says less than one thanking of Hashem in that bracha, then he's degraded. That particular one, because it doesn't say Layati Dechavasa, therefore the person can say that one is not ma'akiv. If he doesn't say any noida, then it's a bad thing for him to do. But nevertheless, he is yet. Okay. And it continues another diuk in that bracha. Actually, the Maharal, by the way, explains on this why it's so important to say Hodah, particularly in the Birkas Ha'aretz. He says, because Hodah represents the idea of that you're subservient to Hashem, that you acknowledge that everything you have comes from Hashem, and that was particularly important when Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and a person is likely to think, good, I have my own land, I have my own territory, whatever, I'm independent, so we have to realize that it's not like that. There's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe in the Kutta Torah that begins with this pasuk, the Halta V'Savata V'Nachta, where the Alter Rebbe goes in and analyzes there a number of these details, why it is that we have the bracha of Hazan, which is about the Mon, before we have the bracha about the Oretz, about Eretz Yisrael, why is it that the bracha of Eretz has to include Bris and Torah, and Hadar, and so forth, and then a whole long explanation. Part of it is that the mon, again, the mon is something that's a very high level of all the course that was brought down to the Jewish people, so much that the Torah tells about it, asher lo yodun avisecha, that even your others, even your spiritual others, can't know of that level, because beyond them. Then we have Eretz Yisrael, which is, so to speak, a more down-to-earth thing, literally. But it's a level of a course that we can more easily access, but therefore we need Bris and Torah to mediate that to us to bring down that high level of a course into our world and so forth. Anybody who finishes off Birkas Ha'aretz, now like this, we finish it off, Baruch Atah Hashem al Ha'aretz v'al Hamazon. But if somebody chooses instead to end the bracha, Manchil Arotzes, that Hashem gives lands as an inheritance, or Umashia is Israel the Boni Yerushalayim, or he finishes the Baruch Boni Yerushalayim instead of Boni Barachim of Yerushalayim Amen, he finishes them off with Baruch Hashem Mashiach Yisrael, Hashem who saves the Jewish people. He's a boor. So Rav Abba says he's a boor for doing that. He's an ignoramus. By the way, Rav Abba over here, the Oruch points out is Rav the Amora. Rav was also, he was on the cusp, he was at the end of the period of the Tanoim. We know sometimes it says Rav Tanahu Polig. So there are a few places in Shas where you have a bright set of quotes from Abba. This is one of them.
Why the bar is he doesn't?
That we're going to see later. Well, as far as Manchil Arotzes, the reason is because then he's not focusing specifically on Eretz Yisrael. Then he's just saying, okay, there are lots of lands in the world, and Hashem gave every nation their particular area of land. But that's not how it is. We're supposed to be focusing in that bracha on the gift of Eretz Yisrael that Hashem gave us. So what kind of Manchil Arotzes? As though it's just a country like any other. As far as Mashiach is Yisrael, because the focus is not so much in that bracha on Hashem saving the Jewish people, the focus is on Hashem restoring Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David. Although with that said, we're going to have later on an opinion that says you do say Mashiach is Yisrael. So obviously that opinion argues the rabbin says you're not a bore for saying it. Okay. Again, somebody who does not mention Brit and Torah in the bracha for the land, or Malchus Beis David b'Bonei Yerushalayim, or does not mention Malchus Beis David in Bonei Yerushalayim. We said that. That supports what Rabbi Ila says. The Amr of Ila, Amr of Yaakov, Ba'adam, Shum Rabbeinu. In the name of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu in these kinds of contexts often means Rav. However, the Divrei Nechemya, the Divrei Nechemya in the back of the Gemara, who was a Lubavitcher Rav, he was the Rav of the Brother, and he was a grandson-in-law of the Alter Rebbe, an important postdoc. He writes that over here Rabbeinu apparently means Rebbe. Because otherwise we're going to have soon a different opinion of Rav that says differently. Okay, anyway, Elo says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, he says in the name of Rabbeinu, Kol Shalai Ola Bris V'Torah V'Birkas Ha'aretz, anybody who did not say Bris and Torah in Birkas Ha'aretz, Malchus V'Torah B'Rani Yishlein, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chivasim. Tosfos, by the way, points out on the previous Amud, doesn't mean you actually have to say the word Bris and Torah. You just say, you say, Al Bris Choshach Zagdav Serenu, Ra'al Toros Choshach Limad Torah. No, the point is, in other words, it's not like you have to give, it's not like you have to have the exact word Bris and the exact word Torah, right? Okay. Next, as now let's turn to the fourth bracha. We have a machlokas between Abba Yosi ben Destori and the Rabbanon. What is the proper nusach of the fourth bracha? Chad Omer Atova Amekiv Tzricha Malchus. One of them says that the bracha Atova Amekiv, you have to mention Hashem's Malchus. In other words, you have to start Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, like most brachas do. But Chad Omer in Tzricha Malchus. The other opinion holds that you do not need to add the word, you do not need to say Malchus in it. It's enough if you say Baruch Atah Hashem. What's the machlokes? Manda om tzricha malchus chasava derabanan. The one who says it requires malchus holds that the bracha is derabanan. So therefore, it's not. Now we learned a few days ago about the concept called bracha smucha lachavada. When you have one bracha that's said immediately after, another bracha, then you don't need to start the second one with baruch atah Hashem. Now, we discussed the other day, though, that the bracha tovan meitiv, the fourth bracha of benching, is not in that category if it's derabanan. Because if it's derabanan, then it comes out, it means it wasn't originally smucha l'chavata. It was originally a bracha that was composed, it was added before you had three brachas of benching, and now you have a fourth. So according to that opinion, you would need to say malchus. It's just like any other bracha. It has to begin baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. Whereas the opinion that says it doesn't require malchus holds that it is daraisa. It's a continuation of Birkas Ha'aretz. We learned yesterday, you have Allah Ha'aretz HaTorba Asher Nasan Loch, and we had an opinion over there. We had an opinion over there that Asher Nasan Loch refers to Birkas Ha'aretz. We have the Tanakama of that daraisa over there. It said Asher Nasan Loch is the bracha of the Torba Amekiv. So it's a continuation of Birkas Ha'aretz. So in that sense, So it is a bracha smucha l'chavata, therefore it doesn't need a lekeinu melech ha'olam. Now in that case, Rashi points out, why does it begin with baruch? The reason is, Rashi says, because essentially it's one praise of Hashem. So it's like Birkas HaPeres, which begins baruch atah Hashem, because it's just a one-line bracha. Because originally that's what it was. It was a one-line bracha, baruch atah Hashem, baruch atah Hashem, atoy v'amesu, or something to that effect.
A bracha, you say baruch Hashem,
that's not smucha l'chavata. The point is, if we say that Hatzor V'Amekiv is daraisa, then really there'd be no need for it to start with baruch at all. Really, it could be like all the other paragraphs of benching that begin with something else and end with baruch atah Hashem. But Rashi says though that because in and of itself it's a short formula, it's just thanking Hashem who's good and does good. Then therefore it wasn't found necessary to make it end with Baruch Atah Hashem. Instead, it just begins with it like any other one line bracha, like the brachas on mitzvahs and teiras and whatever. Tosfos still asks the question, okay, but still the other ones also are deraisa, and we start them with something else and we finish Baruch Atah Hashem. So why don't the Chacham do the same thing over here when they set up the text of it? So Tosfos says that actually, yeah, you're right. If we say it's deraisa, then actually the text of it would actually be different. It wouldn't begin Baruch Atah Hashem. It would begin with something else, and it would end Baruch Atah Hashem, Hatov Ahmetiv, like Noida does, and like Rashi does, exactly. because it's Smokha Lachavata. So therefore, we hold that it's Dirabanan. Therefore, we say not only it has to begin with Baruch Atah Hashem, because it's not Smokha Lachavata, but it does need to include Malchus. So it does need to include Baruch Atah Hashem HaKenu Melech HaOlam. All right. We're going to get back to that point soon. We're going to get back to that soon of what the Nusach of the fourth Bracha is. But meanwhile, let's go back to the third Bracha. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'u Choytim Mabini Yerushalayim. What should be the proper ending of the Bracha Bani Yerushalayim? Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda and Mashiach Yisrael. So Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda says that the end of it should be Mashiach Yisrael. Now, before we quoted a braisa from Rav Abba, which we said, the Aruch says that Rav Abba over here is actually Rav, who says that Mashiach Yisrael is wrong, and it marks the person as a boor. But obviously, Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda is disagreeing with that. But the question is still, Mashiach Yisrael ain B'Ni Yerushalayim. Why are you only saying Mashiach Yisrael? And what if you don't say Boni Yerushalayim, you're not Yotzer according to him? I mean, the main theme of the bracha is that Hashem should rebuild Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beit Hamikdash. Why would it be inappropriate according to him to end off with Boni Barachma? You're right. Ela Ema Achma Shei Yisrael. You're right. Even Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda doesn't say that you can't say Boni Yerushalayim. He just says you could say Mashiach Yisrael instead, because how are the Jewish people going to be saved when Yerushalayim is rebuilt?
Sure.
Moshiach, the one who saves. So it means Hashem saves us. Saved in the past and will save in the future. Boni Barachmav is also in present tense. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rav Baravuna ikol bei Resh Kalusa. Rav Baravuna one time visited the house of the Resh Kalusa, and he benched over there, either by himself or they asked him to leave benching, whatever. Posach b'chodah b'tziyim b'tavki. He started off, he didn't mention both Yisrael amecha and Yerushalayim amecha. He just started off the bracha with one of them. Now, when we say Rachim, how does that as a Nusach go? Rachim, Hashem alakinu, a Yisrael amecha, a Yerushalayim amecha, a Tziyim mishkan kledecha, etc. So he didn't do that. He just started saying Rachim, Hashem alakinu, a Yisrael amecha. Or Rachim Hashem Alakinu al Yerushalayim Irkodshecha. Whatever. One or the other. So he started with one, the Siyan Betarki. But then when he finished the bracha, he said, Moshiach Yisrael Abonu Yerushalayim. Omer of Chista. So Rav Chista said, why'd you do that? Gvurta Lamechtem Betarki. Do you think that it's a strength? Do you think that's a great thing to end off the bracha with both of them? Because that way you figure you yotza all the possible things. You shouldn't. Well, Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Rebbe Omer, Ein Choytmin Mishnayim. We learn in a braisa that Rebbe says when you're ending off a bracha, you should not be ending with two different endings of the bracha, because then it's two different praises of Hashem. Because then it amounts to saying, Rashi says, because then it amounts to oisin mitzvahs chavilos. There's a concept, ein oisin mitzvahs chavilos, that when you have a bunch of mitzvahs to do, don't just do them as a bundle, like, let me get them over with and have done with it. One example Rashi brings, for example, is from a Gemara in Pesachim. You have it in the last paragraph of Pesachim. It talks about many of the dinim of Kiddush and Havdalah. So it mentions over there, let's say you have two things that need to be said over one cup of wine, like a Kiddush and Havdalah, you shouldn't make them both over the one cup of wine. That would be Osin Mitzvahs Chavilas. That would be like you're making the mitzvahs like one bundle, let's just get them over with. So the same thing in Brachas, you don't want to end a Bracha with a double praise of Hashem. So what are you saying, Mashiach Yisrael Abonu Yerushalayim? Okay. And that's, in fact, we don't do that. We just end off learning Barachim of Yerushalayim. Okay. Gufa. Now let's analyze that.
So
you didn't answer. Okay.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Gufa. Now let's, because everybody agrees that you should say Boni Barachma, because that's the theme of the bracha. And since you're not supposed to be choice in Mishtayim, then you don't. So one second. So we haven't finished the discussion yet, but wait. Okay. Gufa. Getting back to what we said, let's analyze. Rebbe Omer Ein Choytim Mishtayim. We said Rebbe says that when you're saying a bracha, you should not end with two different praises of Hashem. Eisei Levi the Rebbe. But Levi asked Rebbe, what do you mean? We say Ala Oretz Vala Mazen. The answer is because that's not two separate praises of Hashem. Eretz Demapka Mazen. It means we're thanking Hashem for the land which produces mazen, which produces nourishment.
What is
that? Ala mazen. That's what it means. It means the Eretz, the primary importance of the Eretz is that it brings out mazen. So it's not really two separate praises of Hashem. In that minor, in the Chota Torah that I referred to before, the Alter Rebbe discusses that at some length over there and discusses what the importance of it is, because the whole purpose of the Eretz, of Malchus, is to bring down Nashva from the Zohar, which is mazen. So therefore, the Eretz is Makka mazen. It brings down and brings out for us the mazen that we mentioned in the first bracha. What about Yastam ala Oretz ala Peres? Same thing. Eretz to Maska Peres, it means a land that produces fruit. What about Yastam? Well,
so that's a primary trade of the
man? Yes. Well, in that context, since we ate fruit, since we ate Shiras Aminim, so we're thanking Hashem that the land produces these fruits, which we just thank you.
But generally speaking.
Other things. Obviously, the land has much more importance of itself. But in terms of that bracha, it's not Chosim and Bishnayim, because we're not thanking Hashem at that point. In general, for the gift of the land, we're thanking Hashem for the land that produces these types of fruits. What about Mekadosh Yisrael Basmanim? What about the Mekadosh Yisrael Hashem makes holy the Jewish people and the Yom Tovim? The answer is there also. It's one thing. Yisrael Bekadoshinu Lizmanim, because the Jewish people are the ones who make the Zmanim holy. Because when do the Yom Tovim come out? Based on when Beis Din decides when Rosh Chodesh is. So therefore, say, what about the Mekadosh Yisrael Rosh Chodeshim? And again, the same answer is Yisrael Bekadoshinu Rosh Chodeshim. Now, Plach asks, once he asks about Yom Tov, why is he repeating about Rosh Chodesh and the same thing? So he says, because the Machshon Levi thought there's a difference between Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. Yom Tov, sure, depends purely on Beis Din deciding when, in particular, Beis Din can decide when there's an Ibur Yor and when not, and therefore they can throw off all the Yom Tovim by a month. But when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, they have less leeway. You actually have opinions in the Mishnah and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that say that the Beis Din does not even have to be Mekadosh HaChodesh, at least not when it's a Chodesh Moleh or when it's a Chodesh Chaser or whatever. There's four different opinions over there. So therefore, so Levi thought that maybe Rosh Chodesh is less dependent on the Jewish people. And the answer is that no, even Rosh Chodesh is, because, okay, maybe the Beis Din doesn't have to say the Kodesh, but the fact of the matter is they have to interrogate the Edim and they have to, yeah.
So,
no, 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 they don't, no. They say Makodesh for Rosh Chodesh, but you have a four-way Machloipis in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. When do they need to do that? Do they need to do that only if it was a 29-day month, but not a 30-day month, or only if it was 30 and not 29, or both, or neither? You have an opinion that says neither. Yom Tov is something else, because Yom Tov obviously depends on Rosh Chodesh, but it also depends whether they decide there would be an Ibur Yor, and that, for sure, they have to decide. So that's what the Tzlach says, that's why he asked about Rosh Chodesh again. Okay. What about Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael Basmanim, when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos? There we have Chosim and Bishayim, because even if you're going to say that the Basmanim depend on the Jewish people, Shabbos doesn't. Shabbos is just every seventh day since Hashem created the world.
Who makes the Shabbos?
Ah, so the answer is Chosim Mizu. The answer is, you're right, this is an exception. So the question is, Amai Shna Hacha. Okay, so what's the difference? Once we see that over there you can be Chosim and Bishayim, what's wrong with being Chosim and Bishayim everywhere else? The answer is Chodei, because over here essentially it is after all one thing. In other words, that Rashi explains that you're thanking Hashem that He creates various kedushas in the world, including Shabbos and including Zman, as opposed to Moshiach Yisrael, the Bnei Yerushalayim, would be two completely different topics. Rashi brings from the Bahag, who has a different girsa over here, that because both of them are kedusha, therefore Rebbe agrees that it's Shayim, but Rashi says I don't like that girsa because the Gemara should have said that explicitly that one of them depends on the other one. Especially because Rebbe's rule doesn't just apply to Nechama. Rebbe's rule applies more generally in Chosin and Shayim. So it's not really appropriate to answer it with something that would only apply to the bracha of Rachim. Anyway, the Rabbeinu Yonah gives a different explanation, a couple of different explanations of what it means over here that this is an exception. One of them, he says, is because the kedusha of the Jewish people depends on Shabbos, and then in turn we're mekadosh bezmanim. So it's all one continuum. Also he says because Mashiach Yisrael, the Bnei Yerushalayim, are found in different psukim. You have some psukim that speak only of Hashem saving the Jewish people without mentioning rebuilding Yerushalayim. You have psukim of Bnei Yerushalayim Hashem that mention only building Yerushalayim without saving the Jewish people. So therefore, they're two completely different things as opposed to
rebuilding Yerushalayim without...
No, obviously, but the fact is they're listed as two separate things in psukim, and therefore they're considered two completely two different enough things that you shouldn't end with both of them. As opposed to Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael Basmanim, similar to what Rashi is saying over here, is basically you're similar to what the Bahag was saying. That's all one kedusha. Okay, fine. All right. So Hocha Chodei. So over here it's one Hoth and Tauti. Over there with Mashiach Yisrael, Bnei Yerushalayim, it's two things. Kol Chodei v'Chodei ba'apin Hashem. Each one stands on its own, and therefore you shouldn't combine them together. Okay, the time of my in Chosin Yishtayim. Why indeed do we not end the bracha with two praises of Hashem? We just said, l'fishay nes in mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, because you don't want to do mitzvahs in bundles, implying that it's a burden and you just want to get it over with. Okay. My havi Allah, what's the bottom line? What is the din about how we end off that third bracha? So Omer of Shesha says it depends. Posach v'rachem al ampa Yisrael. If he starts off the bracha asking Hashem to have mercy on his people Yisrael, chosim v'mashiach Yisrael, then he should finish off with Mashiach Yisrael, because then that reflects the theme of the beginning of the bracha. Posach v'rachem al Yerushalayim, chosim v'on Yerushalayim. But if he starts off with have mercy on Yerushalayim, then he should finish off with burning v'rachem of Yerushalayim. Okay. V'rav Nachman, Omer Rav Nachman says no. No, even if he begins Rachem al Yisrael, even then he finishes only with Bernie Yerushalayim, Mishim Shenemar, because you have a pulpit. Bernie Yerushalayim, Hashem, Nidche Yisrael, Yechane. Hashem rebuilds Yerushalayim. He gathers in the dispersed of the Jewish people, implying, aim aside, Bernie Yerushalayim, Hashem. When is Hashem going to rebuild Yerushalayim? Bizman, Shenidche Yisrael, Yechane. When he gathers together the dispersed of the Jewish people. So we see that even when we're asking Hashem to have Rachmanis on the Jewish people, it also includes a prerequisite for it, kind of, is Bernie Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's always appropriate to end with Bernie Yerushalayim, and that's, of course, how we do it. If we do, in fact, begin with Yisrael, Rachman Hashem Alakenu Al Yisrael Amecha, and only then we mention Yerushalayim, but we finish off with Bernie Barachman Yerushalayim. Okay. Next. Omelet of Zera Lot of Chista. Nesi Mai Venitin. Rav Zera one time said to Rav Chista, Rebbe, would you come and teach me the Nisni, means like to teach a Mishnayas, Braisas, or whatever. Omelet, so Rav Chista says, I can't. Birkat Mizorna Loi Gamrinan. Apparently, I don't even know Benjamin properly. Or Tanuria Masmina. You want me to be teaching you Mishnayas and Braisas? Omelet Mai Hai. So Rav Zera says, yeah, no, Rav Chista is saying. So Omelet Mai Hai. So Rav Zera says, what do you mean? What happened over there? What makes you think you don't know Benjamin? Omelet, so Rav Chista tells him, I'll tell you what happened. The Ikloi Lebei Reish Kalusa, I one time visited the house of the Reish Kalusa, Ubrichi Birkas Mizona, and I benched over there. I led benching. And then when I was benching, I said something that Vizakhi Rav Sheshis Lakure Alai Kachivya. Rav Sheshis stuck out his neck over me like a snake, and it was like he was going like this, he's upset at him. You did the bracha wrong, so therefore Rav Sheshis is saying, apparently according to Rav Sheshis, I don't know how to bench. Okay, so Rav Sheshis says, Vamai, well, what'd you do wrong? What'd you do wrong? So you'll know for next time. So he says, "Deloy ami le Gris, deloy Torah, deloy Malchus." Because I didn't mention Gris and Torah in Birkas Haaretz, and I didn't mention Malchus, and I didn't mention Malchus in the Bracha Atzar Vameitzes. So Rav Zera says, "Okay, but amay le'amit." So why indeed didn't you say it? So Rav Chista says, "Kidded of Chananel Omeram." So Rav Chista saying, "Not that I didn't know nothing. I knew a little too much. I knew what Rav Chananel says in the name of Rav. The Omer of Chananel Omeram." Loy Omer Bris and Torah and Malchus Yosa, where he says in the name of Rav that if you don't say Bris and Torah and Malchus, you are Yotze. Not like we said earlier that you're not Yotze. Yeah. Which, by the way, is what I mentioned before. What leads the Divrei Nechemia to say that Mishum Rabbeinu, when we said it before, that Rabbi Elah said in the name of Rav Akiva Yaakov in the name of Rabbeinu, can't be Rav, because then Rav is contradicting himself. Yeah. So therefore, we have to say that Rabbeinu over there is Rebbe. Anyway, so Rav had said in the name of Rav, Loy Omer Bris for Torah and Malchus Yosa. Bris l'fisha ena b'noshim. The reason why you're Yosef, you don't mention bris in Birkas Haaretz, is because women don't have a bris milah. They can't say al bris chashach samtim b'sarein. And Torah malchus l'fisha ena loy b'noshim v'loy b'avodim. And you don't have to mention Torah and malchus because those don't apply to women or to avodim, because they themselves can't be kings. Women or avodim can't be kings.
Do women and bench?
Yeah, we learned actually in the third parak. Noshim avodim akhanim chayavim birkas hamazon. Yeah, so yeah, it's not a mitzvah that's a shazman drama, but according to Chananel Omer Rav, we're saying they don't have to mention these things because they themselves don't have a bris. They themselves don't have Torah because they don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah.
And have a mitzvah to have their children have a bris.
That's fine. One second. No. Avodim, that's true. But in general, mitzvahs that women, well, that's what we just said. No, we said, as far as bris, we said only women are excluded from it. As far as Torah and Malchus, both men and women are excluded. And both Avodim and women are excluded. They don't have to say it because they're not so shy for those things. So, yes. so so therefore, so Rav Chista figured, I don't have, so therefore Rav Chista figured, I don't have to say, I don't have to say those things in vengeance. Okay, Rav Zera said, still, so what do? You ignored all the opinions of Tanoim and Amiroim that we quoted before that said that you have to say it, and you're trying to follow only Rav, who says that you are Yosef. So therefore, so in other words, Rav Sheshet was right to be upset at you. But it doesn't mean you don't know, it doesn't mean you don't know benching. It just means, now, what is the actual halacha on that? So, okay, you have actually Mefoshim point out that, so what was Rav Chista thinking? Tachta, why did he follow Rav or Rav Hanano against all those other Tanoim and Amiroim? So one possibility is Rav Chista figured that there shouldn't be different mischoys benching for men and for women. If women and Avodim are not chayav in these things, then we shouldn't say that men should have to say them as well. Another related possibility is there were women and Avodim at the table as there as well. So Rav Chista figured if you're going to be motzi all of them, you should do kind of a least common denominator. That brings up the question, though, do women, in fact, have to say these things in benching? So you have poskim who say that you're right. The Gemara over here is saying that they don't need to, therefore they don't need to. That's not the accepted halacha, let alone the accepted minhag, though, if women still do say it, because they themselves don't have a bris milah, it is true, but they still say the nusach of the bracha, not so much because they have their children have a bris milah. In fact, the obligation of a person's child should have a bris milah is on the father, not on the mother.
When there is a father.
That's fine, but nevertheless, the fact is, when there's no father, in principle, the chiyuv is not really on the mother as a matter of halacha. As a practical matter, they usually do, obviously, but they're not actually required. They're not obligated off the halacha. If they don't, then the person himself, or the local basin, or whatever, is responsible to make sure that it happens. Right. So therefore, but nevertheless, women still do have a shaychus to bris milah, in particular the fact that you have a gemara elsewhere, and in Avodah Zarah mentioned Isha commanding the Hilo Dami, that a woman herself is considered as if she has a bris milah. So therefore, so they do have a shaychus there. And same thing, as far as Torah, they themselves don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they still, practically speaking, they do have to learn the things that are negeah to them.
They have their children go to, that's true,
they learned in the second parish, that they have the tremendous source, that they send their children off to learn Torah, and they wait for it, right? All that is true, but that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is that they themselves do have a certain chiyuv because they have the chiyuv of learning Torah for themselves. Yes. Actually, I said it wrongly. They have the chiyuv of learning the halachas that they need to know. They have the halachas and the parts of Torah about Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and they need to know. They don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah l'shma, but they have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the purposes that they need to know. As far as bris milah, actually, I said it a little bit wrongly. What the Alter Rebbe says is because a person is called Adam only when he's married, otherwise he's like half a person. So therefore, the woman has a shaychus to bris milah as well, and therefore she can validly say that you carved the bris milah in our flesh, meaning in this case she's talking about her husband. Okay. Yeah. So that's the bottom line is that you do have to say that. Okay, Amar Rav Baba Chana, Amar Rav Yechanan. Let's get back to Atov V'Hametiv. Atov V'Hametiv Tzricha Malchus, the bracha, Atov V'Hametiv, the fourth bracha of benching, you have to mention Hashem's Malchus in it. The question is, Ma'ikum Hashem Malon? What's the chiddush of Yechanan is telling us? We know already, he said a few days ago, Kol bracha she'ema Malchus, lo shema bracha. What are you telling us? Kol bracha she'ema Malchus, lo shema bracha? That any bracha that doesn't mention Melech HaOlam is not a valid bracha? Well, I'm going to be Yechanan thought it's in there. Rabbi Yechanan already said that. We had a few days ago where Rabbi Yechanan had said the general rule on Mem and Beis that a bracha that does not have Malchus is not a proper bracha. And it can't just be flach ad that he wants to say that he wants to say that it's Dirabanan, because yes, we had Tanoim before saying the same thing and implying that it's Dirabanan, but Rabbi Yochanan, being an Amora, should say more clearly. The Amoraim are expected to explain things more clearly than the Tanoim, and therefore you should say outright that he's saying that it's Dirabanan. The answer is, Rav Zera says you're right. What Rabbi Yochanan means is you need to say Malchus in an extra time. One for itself, because it's a bracha and it requires melech ha'olam, and another one to make up for not having said melech, for not having mentioned malchus of Hashem in the bracha bonei Yerushalayim. We said that bonei Yerushalayim is a bracha smuchel chavata. It didn't have melech ha'olam of its own, because it didn't begin baruch atah Hashem lekeinu melech ha'olam. Therefore, you need to make up for it over here, so therefore you say an extra malchus. So the question is, if so, then you should have to have three. Because also the Birkas Ha'aretz, also Noyd L'Chod, doesn't mention Hashem's Malchus either. Ela Birkas Ha'aretz, my time aloy. Why are you saying that you don't have to make up for the missing Malchus in Birkas Ha'aretz, Mishum Nehavila Brocha Smucha L'Chavata? The reason obviously is because Noyd L'Chod was composed to begin with to follow Hazonat HaKoyl, and therefore it's a Brocha Smucha L'Chavata. It doesn't require Malchus. Well, then Bernie Yerushalayim Nami Leitzu Bari. So Bernie Yerushalayim doesn't require either Nehavila Brocha Smucha L'Chavata, because it is a Brocha Smucha L'Chavata. So why should you need to make up for it? It's Smucha to Noyd L'Chod. So why should you need Malchus? What?
Rachim?
Well, Rachim is the third bracha. It's some often no delacha, which is the second bracha. So if you don't have to make up for a missing malchus in Birkas Ha'aretz in no delacha, why should you have to make up for the missing one in Rachim in Bnei Yerushalayim? So what's the logic that you should have to say an extra malchus in Asov V'Amesis to make up for it? The answer is like this: Hu adin da'afilu Bnei Yerushalayim nami le'boya. The truth of the matter is, you're right. The bracha Bnei Yerushalayim in and of itself does not require you to say malchus in it. Ella, I did Amar malchus beis David, but because you are asking Hashem for the restoration of malchus beis David over there, lav orach ara v'loy Amar malchus shemayim. It would not be derech eretzik to not mention malchus shemayim in it. How could you be asking for the restoration of a human malchus and not acknowledging that Hashem is our king? So by rights, even though it's a bracha smucha l'chavata, you should have to be saying melech ha'olam. And therefore, since we don't, because the bracha is mechol chavata, therefore instead we stick it in atov ha'meitzer to make up for it.
And the reason
we just said because since once you mention malchus beis David, by rights you should be mentioning Hashem's malchus. Now the actual reason why we don't, Rishonim say, is because just the opposite. Though you have a consideration that. It's not right to equate Malchus Beis David and Malchus Shemayim. The Rabbeinu Yonah mentioned this. You don't want to have, as if you're putting them on the same level, that Malchus Beis David and Malchus Shemayim are on the same level. Therefore, if you're mentioning, in the bracha, where you're mentioning Malchus Beis David, you should not be mentioning Malchus Shemayim. But on the other hand, by rights, you should have, because after all, how can you leave out Malchus Shemayim at all? Therefore, instead of saying it in that bracha at all, we say it in the next bracha. That's the idea. Rabbi Yonatan points out on that. You even had, you know, in the olden times, you had people who considered their kings to be gods. So we want to stress in mentioning that we're not doing that. We're not thinking that Malchus Beis David is Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, we don't put it in that bracha. It brings up, by the way, an interesting point, which is, what about at the end of Yalav Yavad? At the end of Yalav Yavad, the Nusach is Kikeil Melech Chanun V'Rachel Mazah. So we are mentioning Hashem's kingship. So should you not be doing that because it's in the bracha where we mention Malchus Beis David? So in fact, you have Poskim that say that you shouldn't say Melech over there. And in the Alter Rebbe's original Siddur, they found a few years back in the library in Moscow, they have over there an original edition of the Alter Rebbe's Siddur from Tavkuf Samach Gimel. Also, a couple of later editions of it leave out the word Melech over there. In fact, they say Kikeil Chanun V'Rachel Mazah. However, the Rebbe Rashab writes, based on something that he heard from a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, that in fact you are supposed to say Melech. And that's how we have it in our Siddurim, so that when the Rebbe Rashab wrote corrections for the Siddur Torah, this is one of them, and indeed it says in Hayom Yom that that's how we do it. We do say Keil Melech Chanun V'Rachel Mazah, even in that bracha, and the reason why it's not a problem is because it's true, it's in the same bracha, but it's far away enough from the mention of Malchus Beis David that there's no thing, that there's nothing that anybody's going to confuse them.
So we couldn't do it for the other bracha.
Because at the end you always finish Baruch Atah Hashem. You don't finish Baruch Atah Hashem the Kenim Melech HaOlam at the end of a bracha. So therefore, yeah. What it is kind of my tirab. The Rebbe Rashab is basing himself on what a chassid told him what the Tzemach Tzedek did. Knew the Alter Rebbe personally, so either he knew that the Alter Rebbe changed his mind, or okay, you have places where the Tzemach Tzedek argues with the Alter Rebbe in halacha. Famously, one example of that, I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, but famously, one example of that is, do we say Shechiyanu on the Megillah by day? If you look in the Siddur, it says over there in the instructions, which the instructions they wrote from the Alter Rebbe, that you only say Shechiyanu on the Megillah by night, not by day. But then the Armin, I guess, to say by day. That's based on the Tzemach Tzedek, who argues with the Alter Rebbe on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? They're both Achronim. I mean, she had tremendous respect for the Alter Rebbe, obviously, but still, when it comes to matters of Halacha, you're... Yeah, this is one funny. Okay. Onward. Okay, so therefore, so that's the point. So on the one hand, you should have said Malchus in Rachim, but you don't because you don't want to put it next to Malchus Beis Aved. Therefore, we stick it into the next bracha. Rapapa, my hochikama. Rapapa says, actually, this is what it means. When Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you need to say Malchus in Hatov Amidiv, Tzricha Shtei Malchus of Amidiv. Actually, you're right. He does mean that you need to make up for all the missing Malchus of the previous bracha. So you do have to say twice extra Melech, plus that you say Melech HaOlam at the beginning. So that way, you're making up for all the Malchus that was missing in the previous brachas. You have one that you should have said in Nodelacha and you didn't, one that you should have said in Rachem and you didn't, so now you're making them all, which is how we do it. How does the bracha go? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hakeh Elohinu Malkeinu, Adireinu Bereinu, etc. HaMelech HaTov HaMeitiv Lako. So we do, like what Rapapa is saying over here, and we say the Melech at the beginning in the regular formula of the bracha, and then we mention twice more Hashem's Malchus.
And that's true.
That's to satisfy that we didn't say Melech, we didn't mention Hashem's kingship in the bracha of Nodelcha or the bracha of Rachim, so now we're making up for all of that. Tosfos points out that given that these brachas were composed at different times, then really, by rights, each one of them should have had its own mention of Malchus. But we don't do that because, practically speaking, they are all put together as one thing of benching. But nevertheless, there's a certain idea we should have mentioned Melech in each one of them, and therefore we're making up for it now, and I'm sorry about it. Fine. By the way, I mean, with this kind of Gemara, now the next time you bench, you have a bit of a deeper appreciation for the nuances there. Yeah. All right. Yosef Reb Zera Achoyed the Reb Gidol. Reb Zera one time was sitting behind Reb Gidol. The Yosef Reb Gidol Kamei the Reb Huna. Reb Gidol was sitting in front of Reb Huna. The usual way they had it in those days is the senior Talmidim would sit in the front, and then the junior Talmidim would sit further and further back. So Reb Gidol was sitting in front of Reb Huna. The Yosef the Kamar. Reb Gidol was sitting and saying as follows. And din as follows. If a person made a mistake and forgot to mention Shabbos in benching, so he forgot to say the thing, Omer, so he says the following formula: Baruch Shanasim Shabbosis L'Nur La'Ami Yisrael Ba'Ava La'Ois V'Levris Baruch Mekadesh Shabbos. One of the most posts is actually Baruch Atah Hashem at the beginning, and at the end you would say it as an actual proper bracha with Shem Malchus at the beginning and Shem at the end. Omale man omra, so he, Pashas Reb Zera, asked Reb Gidol, who says that? Rav. So he says, you should know, it's not my own idea, Rav said that. Hodo Yosef Bekamer, later on, Reb Gidol was also sitting and saying, Tov lehizkir shal yomtev, Omer, he says a similar formula, Baruch, meaning Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, etc., Shenotan Yomim Tovim La'ami Yisrael L'simcha L'zikaron, that Hashem gave Yomim Tovim to his Jewish people for happiness and for remembrance, or different girsa over here that the Rishonim have, is L'sosin L'simcha, which is how we have it in the Seder. Baruch, meaning Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadish Yisrael V'azmanim, again, Omale, he asked him, Man Omro, who said that? And the answer is Rav. Hodor Yosef Bekamer, then he was sitting and saying another one. So the person forgets to mention the Al of Yavar and the Shchodesh. And he says, Baruch at Hashem l'keni malach ha'olam. Again, according to most poskim, you have it with Shema Malchus, that he gave Rosh Chodashim to his Jewish people for remembrance. So Reb Zera says, I don't know whether he mentioned Simcha in that connection, because does Simcha apply to the Shchodesh or not? You have the possible, which seems to imply that's not necessarily the same thing. Maybe, but okay, well, yes, it's man kapara, right? But is it also day of simcha? Eloi on the simcha, or did he not? Also, ichosimba, Eloi chosimba. Also, I wasn't sure whether Rav Gidol said that you do actually finish it off with Mekadosh Yisrael Rashi Chadoshim, or did he not? And Ididei, Idirabe, and also whether he said that one on his own, or whether that one also comes from Rav. So Lamaisa, the way we have it in the Siddur is that the way we have it in the Siddur, we do have these things in the Siddur. When it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, when it comes to Yom Tov, we do taka have that where we say those formulas and we begin and end with Baruch Atah Hashem. On Rosh Chodesh, we don't. On Rosh Chodesh, we just say it without a chesima, because Reb Zera over here is just saying that he's not sure whether you actually end off Mekadosh Yisrael with Rosh Chodesh. And then you have, if you forgot Shabbos and Yom Tov, then you have to, you combine them both into one bracha. Okay. So on Rosh Chodesh, we say it, but we don't end off with Baruch Atah Hashem. Here, you know what? Let's grab a sitter real quick. And take a look.
There's one here.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, what does it say then? If you forget what it says, then you have the formula Baruch Hashem Lekel Masmeram Shenosin Shabbos Tumnocha La'am Yitzur Ba'Ava Lo'is Belebris Baruch Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos. Same thing for Yom Tov Baruch Hashem Lekel Masmeram Shenosin Yom Tov La'am Yitzur Ba'Sof Lo'Simcha. We also mentioned that for Yom Tov Yom Chag whatever Hazeh Baruch Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos Manim. Rosh Hashanah similarly. Chalamoyed and Meshchodesh though you just say Baruch Hashem Lekel Masmeram Shenosin whatever. Yom Chag Plani Azer or Rosh Hashanah Shalom Amisol is coming. No Baruch Atah Hashem at the end of it. That's the difference. Rosh Chodesh and Chalam Moed, you don't finish off with Baruch Atah Hashem such and such.
And because
Rosh Chodesh is not necessarily because Rav Zera is saying, we're not sure. He wasn't sure whether Rav Yidol said that you end with a bracha, and therefore we move the topic. We're not going to say an extra bracha.
On the basis of what?
No. But why wasn't he sure? He wasn't sure because the other one clearly said Baruch Atah Hashem, and in this one, Rav Zera wasn't sure. Gido Baman Yumi, that was his name, was one time standing at a Talmud or a servant or whatever in front of Rav Nachman, Tar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman made a mistake in benching and forgot Yasei or Yalav Yavai, Vahadul Reisha. And he went back to the beginning of benching. Rashi points out, we learned in the fourth parak, we talked about cases where a person forgets with say, Yalav Yavai in davening, in Shemoneh Esrei, where there he doesn't necessarily have to go over back to the beginning. He can go back to the say, as long as he didn't move his feet. But the difference is, Rashi says, he was benching, there's no moving your feet. So as soon as you finish the bracha, bonim brachim, yishalayim amen, it's considered as if you moved your feet, and then it's considered, therefore, you have to start over. Amalei, my time of it, ma'amach. He says, Yidol Baman Yumi asks of Nachman, why did you do that? Amalei says, "Amrav Shilam, Rav Tov Chozel Rosh," because we say that if you make that mistake and you forget Rasei or Yalav Yavai, then you have to go back to the beginning. So the question is, "Va'Amrav Huna, Amrav Rav Tov, Amrav Baruch Shenasan." What about these formulas that you're saying before Baruch Shenasan, Baruch Shenasan Shabbosis, or Shenasan Rosh Chodashim, or whatever Lam Yisrael? Amalei Lav Itzman Amos. Rav Nachman tells him, "Don't you know that was said about it? Amrav Menashe Bar Tachlifa Amrav Lo Shanu Elish LePosach Batei Vamezim." All of that only applies if he did not begin the bracha atov v'ametiv. Av posach atov v'ametiv. But if he began the bracha atov v'ametiv, chozel l'rosh, then he does have to begin over again, because now as soon as he started the next bracha, it's considered a hesach hadas from the previous one. It's considered, like Rashi is saying, the equivalent of as if he stepped out at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and then he has to start all over. And that's the halacha, that's how you see it in the siddur, that when can you say any of those extra brachas is only if you remember before you started baruch, but if you started baruch for the next bracha, then you have to start benching over again for the say yalvin. Actually, the truth is, we're going to have over here in our gemara over here, that it depends. Not always do you need to do that. There are certain times when you don't, as we'll see in the continuation of the sugya. Okay. Amr of Idi Ba'ovin, Amr of Amram, Amr of Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Tov v'lehizkir shorosh chodesh b'tfilah. If a person forgets and does not say Yalav Yavai in davening in Shemoneh Esrei, machzirinu, he says, and we make him go back to Rasei or to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, as the case may be. B'dirkas ha'mozin ein machzirinu. Say, but if he missed Yalav Yavai on Rosh Chodesh in benching, he does not have to go back. Amr of Ovin, Amr of Amram, Maishna tfilah, Maishna b'dirkas ha'mozin. What's the difference? What's the logic for the difference? Amalei said, Amram tells him, after the Kashali, I also had the same question. Ushil Taylor of Nachman, so I asked Rav Nachman the question. But Amalei and Rav Nachman said, I didn't hear directly from Shmuel what the reason for the distinction is. I just heard from Shmuel the actual din. But we ourselves can figure it out. Tfila, you're required to daven Shemoneh Esrei three times a day. Therefore, machzirinu. So therefore, we make him go back. So we said, we learned before, at the end of the fourth parak, we said it's different if you miss it on the Shchodesh by night, because by night you can't be Mekadosh the Shchodesh anyway, so therefore, like, so to speak, it's not full-fledged Shchodesh yet. But during the day, you would have to go back, because you have to daven Shachos and you have to daven Nimcha. Dirkas Mezona, on the other hand, when it comes to Dirkas HaMazin, the Iboi Ochil, Iboi Loi Ochil, he doesn't have to eat. He could choose not to eat. Therefore, in Machzirinu, so therefore, he shouldn't be required to go back and bench again. Because the fact is, you have the choice whether to. Now, Tosfos points out, it's not that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, in fact, is a day when you're not allowed to fast. However, what it is on Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast, but you don't have to eat bread. You could eat something else that doesn't require benching. Tosfos also then goes on
to eat meat, for
example. No, you don't have to. First of all, meat is food. You don't bench for meat anyway, but you don't have to. No, there's no dinner. You have to bench on meat. No, they have to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. No. Tosfos also mentions in that connection, what about a suffix about Shalosh Shodis? The same thing. You don't have to eat bread by Shalosh Shodis. And in fact, our minhag is that we don't even. It was in Hayom Yom a week or two ago. That Shalosh Shodis ain't minhagenu l'echol pas. So maybe you shouldn't. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe mentions in the Siddur, indeed you don't. If you miss Ritzei in Shalosh Shodis, then you don't have to go back. Another one that talks about in Shulchan Aruch is also the daytime of Rosh Hashanah. Now you're not allowed to, you actually have, there were places where they had the minhag to fast on Rosh Hashanah. It's not really the right thing to do, but nevertheless, such a minhag existed, and therefore you can't say that the daytime of Rosh Hashanah is a day when you're required to eat bread. So the night of Rosh Hashanah you are, but the day you're not, and therefore by the night of Rosh Hashanah, if you miss the Alav Yavai, you have to go back, but by the day you don't. So those are the three exceptions, Rosh Chodesh, Shalosh Shodes, and the daytime of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. If they ask him, Ela me'asa, Shabbos is v'yam tovim, b'le sagad, b'le ochel hochinami. So are you telling me then in that case that indeed on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when a person has to eat bread, hochinami yotoy hoder, are you telling me indeed that if he makes a mistake and misses Ritzei or Yalav Yavai, he would have to go back? Rav Amram asked Rav Nachman, Amalei Ein. He said, yes, the Amram of Shilam and Av Ta'ach HaYizul Rosh. Yeah, we just said before, that if you forget, you have to go back. So he says, again, V'ha Amram of Huna Amar Rav Ta'ach HaYizul Rosh. What about those things that you say if you made a mistake? Amalei. And he said, not Amalei. So again, the answer is, like Rav Nachman said before to Gidol Baman Yomi, Lav Itzman Allah, wasn't it said about it? Lo Shonu Elosh Le'Pasach HaTzor Ba'Metiv. All that only works if he didn't start the bracha HaTzor Ba'Metiv. Av HaPasach HaTzor Ba'Metiv. Chozul Rosh. But if he did start the next bracha, he has to start over. So that's how it is. So you have there are times when if you miss Ritzei or Yalav Yavai, you don't have to go back. Namely, Shalosh Shodes, Rosh Chodesh, and the daytime of Rosh Hashanah. All other times when you have to say Ritzei or Yalav Yavai, if you remember that you forgot it before you start the after Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim Amin, but before you started the next bracha, then you can say one of those formulas, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, whatever. If not, if you started the next bracha, then you have to start benching, or then you're too late and you have to start benching over again. All that is as far as Ritzei and Yalav Yavai. Alan Nissim, as we said the other day, that you don't need to. Alan Nissim, you just make it up in the Harasmon. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ad Kama Mezamdin Chola. We had a machloikus in the Mishnah. What's the minimum amount that a person has to have eaten in order to join in a mezuman, a kezayis or a kebeta? So we said the Tanakama, which is the Tanakama of a Mishnah, is usually a mayor, Stam Mishnah, a mayor, had said a kezayis, and Rabbi Yehuda had said kebeta. So the question is, Memra, did a mayor choshev like kezayis for Rabbi Yehuda kebeta? So are you telling me that a mayor considers a kezayis already to be important, and Rabbi Yehuda says only a kebeta is important? The problem is that we find elsewhere where they say exactly the other way around. Like this, Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim. Now the Mishnah begins talking about a case over there where a person is on his way to Shech with Korban Pesach, and he remembers that he has chametz at home. So when does he have to go back? So when does he have to go back? When does he not have to go back? So the Mishnah says that if he has enough time to go back home, get rid of that chametz, and then go on, then he can do that. If not, then he can just even vassal it in his heart, because in a daraisa level, bittul is effective. You're not allowed to shech the Korban Pesach when you have chametz in your possession. So one way or the other, you have to deal with it. But if in a pinch, he can even vassal it in his heart.
So you can't have it in his possession?
Once he's vassal it, then it's not in his possession anymore. That's kafadara. So the whole concept, in Gemara Pesachim, it talks about this, the whole concept that you have to be bodek chametz and then your beer chametz and everything is basically derabbanan. It's basically derabbanan because a person otherwise might find gulska yafa, a nice loaf of bread in his house during Pesach, and forget that it's Pesach and eat it. So therefore, the Chachamim required him to search and get rid and whatever. Midarai, the bittul is enough. It's not in your Rishos anymore. So in this case, where he doesn't have enough time to go back, he's going to miss bringing the Korban Pesach, then he can be mevatel in his heart. Then the Mishnah continues, v'chein, in the same way, Misha Yotam Yerushalayim, somebody who left Yerushalayim, Nizkar Shahoya B'yadib Tzav Kodesh, and then he remembers on the way that he still has with him meat from a korban, which became possible as soon as he went out of Yerushalayim, but it's supposed to be burnt in the place where you were supposed to eat it. So if it's Kodshim Palim, which is the past is what we're talking about, then he has to burn it someplace in Yerushalayim. So therefore, Im Ovar Sofim, so like this, if he already passed Sofim, which is a point where from which you can see the Beit Mikdash, so you have Harat Sofim is one example of that. You have different places around Yerushalayim where you're close enough and you're on high enough ground that you're able to see the city of Yerushalayim.
One specific place.
So you have actually Machloikas, whether it means one specific place, which may or may not be the same as Harat Sofim, or whether it means in general any place in any direction from Yerushalayim from which you can see the city. So anyway, if you pass such a place already, so for the Mekomer, then fine, you can just burn it where you are. The Chachamim were not going to be matriach you to go all the way back to your Shalai and burn it. The Imlav, but if not, Chozer Gesofer, let's Me'am Bira, Me'aseh HaMarocha. If not, that he should go and burn it in front of the Bira, which is a place on the Harabayas called the Bira, and for that he uses wood from the Marocha, wood that usually would have been used for the wood pile in the Beth Mikdash. The Gemara actually mentions it. The Gemara actually explains in Sachin that there's two possibilities. Either he can burn it anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, but then he has to supply his own wood, or if he wants, he can burn it in the Bira over there, and then they can give him wood from the Aseh HaMarocha for the purpose. Anyway, the point is, the Mishnah continues, Ad kama heim chozrim, what's the minimum amount of chametz or b'sar kodesh that a person would have to return for, and then to go back and then take care of? Rav Meir says both chametz and b'sar kodesh, the minimum is a kazayis, is a kabeita, and Rav Yehuda says a kazayis. So you see, Rav Meir considers only a kabeita to be important, and Rav Yehuda considers a kazayis, exactly the opposite of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yechanan says you have to flip around the opinions, either in our Mishnah or not Bryce. It's also a Mishnah. It's also a Mishnah in Sachin. You have to flip around. One of them. He doesn't specify which one. Okay. Abaya Amala Olam Lo Tepuch. Abaya says you don't have to flip around any opinions. The difference is like this. Hacha b'kroi, please. Because over here in our Mishnah, why is Rav Meir saying kazayis and Rav Yehuda is saying kabeita? Because they're arguing about how we understand the pasuk. So like this. Rav Meir saw Rav Yachalta du achila. Now like this. You have a pasuk of Yachalta with Savata Rav Yachalta. Rav Meir holds the word Yachalta refers to eating. The Savata du shia. When it says the Savata that you will be satisfied, that refers to drinking. Now what does that mean? We'll explain in a second. And then the achila, because achila, anywhere in the Torah where it talks about eating something, the minimum is a kazayis. So therefore, over here, it means a kazayis. What do we mean, the savata zushtia? So one possibility is you have rishonim that learn that what it means is that just like benching after bread is daraisa, so also bracha me'en sholosh after eating, after, for example, drinking wine, would also be daraisa on the basis of this, on the basis of the savata zushtia.
Because
it's not so much because wine satisfies, but because, there is that. That's actually a good point. We did learn before that wine in moderate amounts satisfies, right? So, but there's also, even without that, there's the fact that a person can drink a drink and they feel full. So therefore, their one-on-one idea would be that we're saying maybe as an actual daraisa, maybe only as an asmasta, that a bracha after drinking is also that there's a bracha after drinking. But there's other possibilities also, and one interesting one is the Sefer Yireim learns, therefore, that if a person only ate and did not drink, he ate a kazayis of bread, but he did not drink, that he's not really chayiv in birkas hamazon. He learns our Gemara to be saying that Ramei is saying you need both in order to actually be chayiv on a daraisa level. Now, the halacha is not like the Yireim on that. The halacha is you do have to bench after a kazayis of bread. However, the Ramah points out, now that ever follows in this, that we should be choshish for his daya, that if there is somebody, if you have a mezuman, and you're going to have, and you have somebody who only ate, did not drink, he can join the mezuman, fine, but he shouldn't be the one leading the mezuman. Because, according to the Yireim, he's not even chayiv in benching. Well, unless you give him something to drink, right. So if you can give him to drink, obviously, that's the best possibility. But if not, then it says he shouldn't be the one to lead benching. Although, again, the Alter Rebbe says that was primarily in those times when he actually said the brachos and was mostly everybody. Nowadays, okay. That he just says nevarish, and there's less of an issue with that. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, Rav Meir is saying that since it says v'achalta, that implies kazayis. Rav Yehuda sava v'achalta v'savata means achila sheyesh basriya. Rav Yehuda, meanwhile, holds that v'achalta v'savata is one thing. It means you should eat and be satisfied, meaning achila sheyesh basriya, meaning the minimum amount is that you ate enough to be satisfied, which is the ezazu kabeita. How much does a person need to eat to actually feel satisfied as a kabeita? So therefore, over here, Rav Yehuda is going to say you need a kabeita. Again, Tosfos over here mentions that this whole thing is only an asmachta. We learned previously on Daf Chof that actually midaraisa you only need to bench when you actually full, not just when you ate a kazayis or a kabeita, but when you actually feel full. So that's another.
We do that.
So we do. That's when if a person ate a kazayis, then he's already chayiv in birkas hamazon.
We don't do that. It's a bench only when we.
No, because that's daraisa versus derabanan. Okay. So that's the source of their machlokas over here then. Just how do we understand v'achalta v'savata? Actually, by the way, there's one more thing worth mentioning. How does the Savata come to mean drinking? The Abderes, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim for a couple of years in the early 1900s, he has an interesting take on it. He says the word with Savata, he says maybe the Gemara is dashing as if it's related to the word Zolo v'Soyve, though they were spelled with Samach and here with a Sin. Soyve means to drink wine. So therefore, the Savata can therefore be a remez for drinking. Okay. Whereas when it comes to the promise or the Sav Kodesh, the Machlokas is not based on how to understand Pesukim. The Machlokas is based on a Svara. Reb Meir Sava Chazarose Ketumase. Reb Meir says, how much do you have to go back for to get rid of your Chametz or to burn your Sav Kodesh? Is the amount you should have to return for is the same amount as the minimum that can become Tomei. Matum Ose B'Kabetza Av Chazarose B'Kabetza. The minimum amount of food that's subject to Tumas Oakland is a Kabetza. Therefore, also here a Kabetza. You have Machlokas Rishonim. Does that mean that the Rashi and a couple of other Rishonim learned that it means that food can only become Tomei if you have a Kabetza of it in the first place? The Rambam learns that not, even a tiny amount can become from it, but to transmit tumor to something else, you need a kazai, you need a kabeza.
So it's
because of tumor, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the amount you should have to return for is the amount that a person would be awesome in a Torah to eat and would be chayiv kares for. The kazayis of chametz a person eats is chayiv kares. The kazayis of Sav Kodesh that he eats outside of Yerushalayim is also also. Therefore, you'd have to return. Therefore, we'd have to return for a kazayis. So therefore, no contradiction between that Mishnah and our Mishnah. Okay. I guess let's learn the Mishnah and we'll start the Gemara tomorrow. The Mishnah says, "Ketzev mezamim." What is the nusach? How do you say zimun? B'shloisha oy menevorech. If you have exactly three people, then you say nevorech. Nevorech shachal mishalay. If you have four people, then you say Baruch Hu. You bless Hashem, because you already have three people who are able to bless on his own. Baruch Hu, not Baruch Hashem and Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem and Mishalot. Baruch Hu, Shalach Hanu Mishalot. We'll see in the Gemara about where... we'll see in the Gemara. We don't actually do that, so we'll get to that in the Gemara. Ba'asara, when you have 10 people, so now you're able to mention Hashem's name, Oymer Nevorech Elokeinu. Again, if you have 11, then you can say Borchu Elokeinu Shachal Mishalot. Yeah, because once you have Hashem's name, then once you have 10 people over there, so then you have a higher level of Ashraf Hashchina. Therefore you can mention Hashem's name. By the way, Tosfos points out you don't say Nevorech Leilokeinu, because Tosfos says in Tanakh, when it talks about, for example, singing to Hashem, you have a lamed shiru l'Hashem, let's say, but whenever it mentions in the pasuk benching Hashem, it never uses the lamed. It's always Borchu Elokeinu. That's just how it is. So therefore, the nusach should be not nevorach leilekenu, but nevorach elekenu, which is how we have it in the siddur. Echad asora ve'echad asora really. You have the same nusach that you say nevorach elekenu, whether you have 10 or whether you have 10,000. But now the Mishnah continues with something else, which seems to contradict that. Because the Mishnah is actually going to continue now with something else, which seems to contradict that. The Gemara is going to end up saying that's actually two different opinions, as we'll see actually later on in our Mishnah. The Meir Hu Oymer Nevorach Hashem Lekeinu. When you have 100, you add an extra name of Hashem, so you have it's more important. So you say Nevorach Hashem Lekeinu. The Meir Hu Oymer Baruch Hu. Again, if you have 101, then you say Baruch Hu Hashem Lekeinu. The Elef, if you have 1,000 people at the table, Hu Oymer Nevorach Hashem Lekeinu Elekei Yisrael. The Elef Hu, if you have 1,000, plus him, Oymer Baruch Hu. This is Baruch Hu Hashem Lekeinu Elekei Yisrael. The Riboy, if you have 10,000, Oymer, then you have to add even more titles of Hashem. Nevorach Hashem Elekeinu Elekei Yisrael Elekei Tzvachot Yosheva Kruvim Alamazin Shalchalmu. The Riboy Yehu, Oymer Baruch Hu. If you have 10,001, then you say Baruch Hu Hashem Elekeinu, etc. Whatever nusach he uses in the nevorach is what they answer after him. So, for example, in the last case, they would say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvachot Yosheva Kruvim Alamazin Shalchalmu. Rabbi Yosi Agbili, and the Lefi Roiva call him Mevorachim. So Rabbi Yosi Agbili says there's a general rule. You always go. There's a number of people. The greater the number of people, when you have another multiple of 10, and Marshall points out that 10 we have is used as an extra thing in many things of Purusha. So every time you have another multiple of 10, you have a higher level of Purusha present. Therefore, you have to say another Nusach. And therefore, so yeah. Shenemah, Makelus, Baruch Hu Elokim, as the Pasuk says, in Tillim, in gatherings, praise, bless Hashem, Hashem Mimkor Yisrael, Hashem from the source or from the womb of the Jewish people. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow what that part of the pasuk means. But the point is, Makhei Lois is plural, so it means there's many different kinds of gatherings. One where you say only Elokeinu, and one where you say Hashem Elokeinu, etc. But Omer Rav Akiva, Rav Akiva says no. Mamat Kinnim Rav Beit HaKnesses, just like you find in Shul, Echem Merubim VeEchem Rotim, whether you have a bare minion or whether you have 10,000, either way, Omer Baruch Hu Et Hashem, you always say the same, Baruch Hu Et Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel Omer says, Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't just say Baruch Hu Et Hashem, Baruch Hashem Amu Baruch. But the point is, you don't add extra titles of Hashem, the more people there are in Shul, so the same thing, you don't add more titles, the more people there are in Shul. So that's machlokes. So why does Rabbi Yosef really say differently? Tosfos says the difference is because in shul people are always coming and going. You can't expect the chazan to know at any given time whether there are 10,000 or whether some of them have left or whatever. Fine, but not necessarily. That people still can come and go. You know, where are you going to have 10,000 people anyway? You're going to have someplace like 770. You know, nobody's going to notice whether one person goes in and out. Right. Yeah, but as opposed to in Birkat HaMazon, everybody's sitting there together, so therefore you're going to know how many people are there. That's why Rabbi Yosef agrees. But Rabbi Akiva still says that, no, it's just like Baruch Hu and Shul. Okay, so we'll learn the Gemara on it tomorrow.